Luke 21, and also you'll be wanting Mark 12, Luke 21 before the prayer, Mark 12 following the prayer. Let's stand together, if you would, please, the book of Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are observant, and that, Lord, you know what is happening in our lives. Lord, we do pray for Pastor Mel and Kelly Sharp and the Glastonbury Baptist Church. Give them strength and give them encouragement. Lord, we do pray today for the Covenant Baptist Church, that, Lord, you would help this preacher today preach your word. And, Lord, we pray that hearts could be made right and souls saved. And we ask, Lord, that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Mark chapter 12, begin reading at verse 41. May I say this, that Jesus sat down and he saw her coming. I want you to see this in your mind's eye. Just don't read it, but ponder it. Verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. As we mentioned last week, this was a box that was on one side of the wall, and it was made of a metal material, and it had a drop-off that went into a box on the other side of the wall. I guess maybe they were worried about people stealing money back then. But it was made in such a way that you could throw your money in, because they didn't have paper dollars at that time, and it would make quite a rattling as it went through. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. So in your mind, see Jesus as he's sitting over there by the treasury box. And he's watching, not as they place the money into this treasury box, they're casting it. They are literally throwing it in because it would, in my opinion, make more noise, making it sound more impressive. And many that were rich cast in much. I mean, they were rich and they didn't mind showing it because they cast in a lot. And there came a certain poor widow. Now, in your mind's eye, see Jesus sitting there and he sees her coming. There is a difference in the way she's dressed. Her attitude is different. Maybe she's looking at the floor. Maybe she's pondering about what she's going to do. And he sees her, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, or about one quarter of a cent. This is what she now casts into the treasury. Verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples. In your mind's eye, Jesus is sitting there. He then gathers the 12 disciples. Maybe they're mingling, maybe they're watching other things going on, but he brings them over to himself. And he says to them, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We find two thoughts. Verse 1 of chapter 21 of the book of Luke, and he looked and saw. And in Mark 12:41, he beheld how the people, Obviously, our Lord is interested in our actions. Do you agree with that statement or not? Do you think he is interested in what you do? I believe he's very interested. I think he wants to know how we respond to the cause of Christ. See, the amount of money we give to the work of the Lord has no determination on our getting into heaven. We are not going to go to heaven because we gave X number of dollars to the cause of Christ. No. That will not get us into heaven. But it shows our interest in the work of the Lord and the furtherance of the gospel. Taking your Bibles, if you would, the book of Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans chapter 10. Familiar words. If you've been in a Baptist church for any length of time and been at mission conferences, had missionaries speak to you, you've had them tell you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 10. If you have studied the Romans road of salvation, it takes you to the book of Romans chapter 10. And we're going to begin at verse 13. For whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad that it's whosoever and not a certain group of people? Whosoever, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A question mark, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? See, the Lord is interested in our attitude about getting the gospel not only here in this area, but around the world. Are we concerned that the city of Oregon, Ohio, is in need of a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church? Are we concerned, or should we say, well, let those in Ohio take care of it? Well, the fact of the matter is there are places in the state of Michigan that need a good, fundamental Bible-believing church. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How can you send them unless there is something to send them with? When Pastor Mel went out to Connecticut, there were a number of churches, including ours, that gave to them for a number of years. And the attitude was is that by year four, you should be to a point in which you should be close to self-supporting. Now, the money was there because people gave. But I believe the Lord is definitely interested in who we are. Do you like it if someone brags on you? Isn't that nice when someone says, wow, look at the beautiful wife on his arm? Now, that's been said of me for 41 years. Yes. Did you see our granddaughter here today? Yeah. One's in the nursery, and the other one was in here with my dad. So there you had my dad and a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter. Wow. But I tell you what, you like it when someone says, oh, your granddaughter is beautiful. You want to get on my wife's good side after service, after you look at the pictures that Dr. Mark has, go over to my wife and say, wow, you have beautiful granddaughters. She's going to think, wow, you're really special. You like it when people brag on you. Can the Lord brag on you? See, the Lord can brag on you. Did I ask you to turn to the book of Job chapter 1? Well, I'm asking you now. Job chapter 1. Do you know that God brags on Job? You know, it's good if the Lord can brag on you because you are doing that which is right. That he wants to be able to say what he says of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or avoideth evil? Wow, would you like God to say that about you? Can he say that about us? See, I believe that he does watch us. And he does know what's happening in our lives. Take your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe he is very concerned about the actions and the attitudes of those people that call him Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, please. We'll read the first four verses. And I, brethren, that's Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For a while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Well, we find a carnal state prevents spiritual growth. If the world has too much of a hold on us, we cannot grow spiritually. It should be our desire to not only have the milk of the Word of God, but the meat of the Word of God. That we are growing. But one of the problems is that we may know everything about the technology of our cell phone, but know virtually nothing about the Word of God. We may know how to turn on our widescreen television and have screen on screen and watch three couple of different things at once, and we may know how to record things and do whatever, but do we know the Word of God? You know, we may know everything where it is at the shopping store, at Kroger's or Meijer's or Costco or wherever you do your shopping, and you may know down every aisle where you can find things. That's the only reason I like a cell phone, is I can ask my wife where things are. And what does she really mean by this statement? I've actually stopped women and said, what is my wife asking for here? They're always amazed. And then we figure it out. But we may know everything about the aisles of Kroger's, but do we know the Word of God? Do we know more than David killed a giant or that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Do we know more than these things? Do we know about justification and sanctification, glorification? Do we know what the Lord does in redemption? Have we grown in the Word of God? We don't want to be carnal. We want to be growing, and he is observing us, beginning at verse 5, down through 8. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. May I say this, to have an increase, there must be planting. And there must be watering. Because God cannot increase if there isn't planting and watering. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Only the increase God produces is of any eternal value. Only those things that we do for the cause of Christ in the long run are of any value. And so we need to be working for the Lord, and he is observing us. He is watching us. He knows what's happening in our lives, beginning at verse 9. For we are laborers, what? Together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We are laborers together for the cause of Christ. And we need to make sure that in our labors that we are honoring the Lord and not trying to receive pats on our back, but that we are doing it for His cause. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church is built on Jesus Christ. I'm glad it's not built on a man, but it's built on Christ. And that we are to build on that foundation, which is sure, which is strong. But notice verses 12 through 14. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones. Now, those are good things. Gold, silver, precious stones. As we continue, wood, hay, stubble. Those aren't so good. Those things can burn. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Our works are going to be tried. And the wood, hay, and stubble are going to be what? Consumed, burned, gone. But the gold, silver, and precious stones, they'll remain. There are things that we can give to our Lord. Verse 14, if any man work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. We're not saved by works. But we are to give works. Every man's work is going to be put to the test. Schofield writes in his Schofield Bible, in the New Testament, our Lord offers to the lost salvation. Aren't you glad He offers salvation? How many of you were saved? You know Christ is your Savior. You were lost and you needed Christ. You came to a point in your life where you said, I need a Savior and I can't do it. He offers to the lost salvation and for the faithful service of the saved rewards. To the lost salvation, to those who work for His cause, rewards. Salvation is a free gift, but rewards are earned by works. Salvation is a free gift, but we must accept it. But the rewards are earned and we must do them. You must do them. I must do them. A further distinction is that salvation is a present possession while rewards are to be given at a later time. I can't wait for those, can you? Are you excited about meeting the Lord? What if it were today? We told the Sunday school class that a former member of our church, Phyllis Jackson, that her daughter has just passed away. Julie was 62. And you know, you think back through the years of these people that were part of the Covenant Baptist Church and they were before us and we're here now and there's others coming afterwards. But we need to make sure that we're still here, right? And this is done by our works, by doing that, which will keep this church going forward because of the works that we do for the cause of Christ. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. And I don't know how this is going to happen, if He's going to line us all up. And then as we come before Him, He gives us our rewards. And some they're going to bring in dump trucks and dump them out. And others are going to walk up with their hands behind their back and there's going to be nothing. Isn't that going to be sad? Man, I want the dump trucks brought in. And the work's dumped out, and the Lord's going to say, well done. Well done. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. It's coming. He saw the poor widow woman coming. We're not told that he said to the poor widow woman, hey, you gave more than all them. He said it to his disciples. I think that there's going to be a little bit of bragging going on. And the Lord's going to say, look at this one. Man, look what they did. We read last week about Marjorie Browning and what she did for the cause of Christ in Brazil. I believe there's going to be those saints that people are just going to say, I could have done that. Man, I could have served the Lord like that. Why didn't I do that? You know, the Bible tells us that he's going to wipe away our tears. And I believe one of the reasons there's going to be tears in heaven, because we're going to get there and we're going to realize that we didn't do anything for the cause of Christ. And may I say this, coming to church at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning doesn't really count as a whole lot when you consider that down the streets there are churches that are preaching false doctrines and the people are there at 11 o'clock. I believe what counts is when we go the extra mile, when we go beyond just a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It's when we sacrifice to be in the house of God. When we give to the work of the Lord, when we invite people, when we are willing to tithe, when we're willing to read the Word of God, when we're willing to pray, and God says, hey, this is something that's important. We read in the book of Revelation that the prayers of the saints are recorded there. We need to make sure that we are doing something for the cause of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that God loveth a cheerful giver. And we automatically believe that means money. But it's more than just money that you can give. You give your time. You give your effort. You give your blood, sweat, and tears. You care for the lost. You care for the cause of Christ. What have we given to the Lord? Shall we stand together? Song number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. What is the Lord's way that we serve him? Are we willing to have the Lord have his way in our life? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. Convict our hearts, Lord. May the Spirit move. May he reveal that which needs to be revealed, that which needs to be changed. And give us the strength to do the changing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.